Greetings to everyone. Thank you for joining our policy update webinar. We'll begin very shortly. Again, let me welcome everyone to our policy update webinar. My name is David Olive. I'm Vice President for Policy Development Support, and we're here with the policy team members to provide an update on the policy development issues before us at the ICANN meeting in Beijing. But I would like to turn the floor over to my colleague, Dr. Steve Shang, who will provide a greeting to those Chinese language speakers on the call and who will be looking at this recording in the next few days. Dr. Shang.
Thank you, David. 大家好,我的名字是盛兴光, 是ICANN政策团队中的一员, 我欢迎各位参加这次政策研讨会, 尤其那些中文地区的成员。 在每次ICANN会议之前, 我们做定期的政策更新, 我们希望这将有助于我们所有的人 准备各种政策讨论和其他事项。 而在研讨会开始之前, 我想向您指出一些注意事项。 第一,因为很多人在电话会议上,我们将所有的电话线静音。如果您要问一个问题,请去聊天格,我们将尽一切努力尝试回答。在我们的报告后,将有时间为您提供机会来问问题。现在我向大家介绍 David Olive, 负责政策的副总裁,他将继续我们的政策研讨会。David, back to you.
Thank you very much, Steve, and thank you to our friends and soon hosts of the Beijing meeting who will be listening to our webinar in the Chinese language. We thank you very much. As Steve pointed out in his introduction, we will be muting the lines and unmuting them to allow questions. We will change the format somewhat by having questions at the end of each section dealing with the various supporting organizations and advisory committees so that you, the participants, can ask questions at that time. And also you can put questions in the chat area, and we will answer them as soon as we can with the many team members on this call. So again, I thank you and welcome. I wanted to show this one graphic that we have on our ICANN website, talking about the various communities who participate in the ICANN activities and policy development activities in particular. And that's what we'll focus on today, the activities of the supporting organizations and advisory committees as they make recommendations on policies for the DNS to our board of directors. And in that regard, policy recommendations are formed and refined by the ICANN community through the supporting organizations and influenced by advisory committees. All the working groups and activities are comprised of volunteers from many, many countries in a bottom-up and open and transparent process. Each supporting organization, the GNSO, the CCNSO, the ASO in this regard, have their own process for conducting policy development, and these are found in our ICANN bylaws. There are, of course, other advice given to the board from these advisory committees listed here, at large, security and stability, the root server system advisors, and the government advisory committee. And they also provide information, comments, and advice to our board of directors. Of course, our ICANN stakeholders include companies that offer domain names to the public, companies that operate top-level domain registries, internet service providers, intellectual property interests, business users, non-commercial users, academics, non-governmental organizations, nonprofits and consumer advocates, and individual internet users, as well as governments. All these are part of our ICANN community. The goals for this session are to update you on work in policy development, to review the issues that will be discussed at our Beijing meeting, to inform you of how to participate or provide input into these processes, and to answer any questions you may have. topics covered are here in the generic name supporting organization, for the country code supporting organization, some of their activities, the at-large advisory committee, and the address supporting organization, to name a few. And I'll now quickly turn it over to our policy experts to talk about the current issues being discussed in the GNSO. These are among them. I now turn it over to Marika Koenig, our Senior Policy Director, to continue the webinar. Marika?
Thank you very much, David. Hello, everyone. So as David said, my name is Marika Koenig. I'm a Senior Policy Director and a team leader for the GNSO. So in this first set of topics, where we're looking at some of the policy initiatives that are currently being worked on in the generic name supporting organization, or also known as the GNSO, we currently have over 15 projects underway, but unfortunately we don't have time to go into detail into all of these. So what we've done is actually focused on those projects that are either considered a high priority by the community, and or where there is an immediate opportunity to provide input on proposed recommendations or reports. So in addition, at the end of this section, we'll provide you with a short overview of some of the other projects for which there will be an opportunity to either participate in a session in Beijing, if you are interested to learn more or get involved, or where you can expect possible next steps to be initiated. So now we'll first look at a policy development process, or also known as a PDP, that addresses the locking of a domain name subject to UDRP proceedings. So following the issue report on the current state of the UDRP, which was published a while back, the GNSO Council decided to initiate a policy development process on this specific topic only, as a more extensive review of the UDRP is scheduled to take place at a later point in time. Currently, there is no requirement to actually lock a domain name in the period between the filing of the UDRP complaint and the commencement of proceedings. The UDRP itself only refers to maintaining status quo, but it actually does not define what this means or at what point in time status quo should be maintained. So this has resulted in different interpretations and practices by registrars, which has resulted in confusion, lack of clarity for registrars, UDRP providers, as well as complainants and registrants. So in order to help to help inform its deliberations, and this was also one of the tasks assigned to the working group as part of its charter, the working group went out to obtain additional information on this subject. So they started off by conducting a survey in which they asked registrars as well as UDRP providers about their existing practices as well as experiences. The feedback that was received clearly indicated that currently there is no standard approach in relation to the locking of a domain name by none of the parties involved. So in addition to that, the working group also reached out to the different ICANN stakeholders as well as the broader ICANN community to obtain further input, and the charter questions it had been asked to address through means of a public comment forum and requesting direct input from the different SOs, the supporting organizations and advisory committees, as well as the GNSO stakeholder groups and constituencies. So as a result now of all that feedback received, the review of that information, continued working group discussions, the working group has now published its initial report for public comments. So the initial report itself, in addition to information on the background of the issue, the input that has been received, information on the working group deliberations and considerations, the working group itself, or the report itself, contains 11 preliminary recommendations, which the working group expects would helpfully clarify as well as standardize the process that is to be followed in the case of a UDRP proceeding with regard to locking. So first of all, it actually includes a proposed definition of locking, a term that is currently not defined or even mentioned in the UDRP or the UDRP rules. So in this context, it's proposed by the working group that locking should mean the preventing of any changes of registrar and registrant without impairing the resolution of the domain name. And just a short note there, the last part of this sentence is actually something the working group is considering and looking for input on whether to actually maintain that or not. and they will further consider that in the second part of their deliberations. So in addition, the working group proposes that a registrar is required to prevent any changes of registrar and registrant within 2 business days of receiving a verification request from the UDRP provider. And one of the few proposed changes to the UDRP rules, maybe worth pointing out that most of the other recommendations are actually clarification of the existing rules and policy or codifications of existing practices. So that the one change that is suggested to the UDRP rules is to remove the existing requirement for the complainant to send a copy of the complaint to the respondent at the time of filing, as this is associated with an increased risk of cyber flight. So all the recommendations together aim to provide a step-by-step process on what needs to happen when a UDRP complaint has been filed and what the responsibilities are of the different parties involved. So in addition, the working group proposes that if and or when these recommendations are adopted, accompanying educational materials are developed to ensure that all affected parties are aware and appreciate what the new requirements are that would need to be met. So as I said before, this report has now been published for public comment. Comments can be submitted until the 26th of April, followed by a reply period. You see here on the screen the link where you can find further information, including the public comment forum itself, as well as the report. The working group is also organizing a session in Beijing on Thursday, the 11th of April, from 9 to 10:30 local time, during which there will be an opportunity to ask questions or provide further input to the working group so that can be taken into consideration as the working group continues its deliberations. So once the public comment forum closes, the working group will resume its deliberations, review the input received, and develop its final report for submission to the GNSO Council. But another policy development process that is, has recently kicked off deals with the purpose of GTLD registration data, which is currently also referred to as WHOIS. So as many of you probably know, WHOIS was created in the early 1980s as a mechanism to contact those responsible for operating a network resource on the Internet. However, since then, WHOIS has been used for many additional reasons, and we've also seen, in the meantime, introduction of other scripts on the Internet. But few changes have actually been made to the underlying protocol or the services using this protocol. Of course, this is not necessarily the result of not trying, because I think many of you know or have been involved in the many efforts that have been undertaken in addressing some of these challenges. But as a result of the many aspects and different perspectives involved in this conversation, no agreement has been reached to date on how to deal with issues such as data accuracy, reliability, accessibility, privacy, and readability. So recognizing the importance of addressing these issues, also inspired by the recommendations of the WHOIS review team, the ICANN board requested an issue report on the purpose of collecting and maintaining GTLD registration data and on solutions to improve accuracy and access to GTLD registration data. And so requesting an issue report is the first step of a GNSO policy development process. In parallel to this request for the issue report, the board also directed the creation of an expert working group to look into these issues. The recommendations of this expert working group are expected to feed into the final issue report and help inform the PDP deliberations that will follow. The expert working group has already been formed and has started its deliberations, and at the same time, we've now also published the preliminary issue report for public comment. So the preliminary issue report itself provides an overview of the background on this topic, as well as the many previous as well as recent initiatives that have been undertaken in relation to this issue, which we expect will help inform the PDP deliberations. The report also includes a staff recommendation, which confirms that this topic is considered to be within scope of ICANN and the GNSO policy development process, and recommends taking into account the importance of this topic that the PDP proceeds. So public comments can be submitted until the 19th of April, followed by a reply period. And as mentioned before, the final issue report is expected to be published following the finalization of the expert working group recommendations so that these can be included in the final issue report and be considered as part of the PDP as it moves forward. So with that, I would like to hand it over to my colleague Barbara, if she's on the line, or Brian, are you covering these slides?
Marika, I can cover these slides.
Oh, sorry. Steve, so we go back to Steve Shang. Thank you very much. Steve, over to you.
Thank you. I'll give a brief update on the WHOIT studies. As you recall, these studies are requested by the GNSO Council in 2009 to provide more fact to guide the policymaking. I'm here to update three studies. So the first study focused on the misuse of the registration data. It examines the extent to which the public's WHOIS data in GTLD domains are misused, for example, you know, by phishing, by spam. It's currently done by the Carnegie Mellon University in its last stage with the final draft report due to be published in April 2013. The next study is also looking at abuse, but with particular focus on the privacy and proxy services. So the hypothesis or the rationale is to examine the extent to which these GTLD domain names used to conduct illegal or harmful internet activities are registered via privacy or proxy services. And so the assumption is that this miscreant use privacy and proxy service to obscure their identity, making it harder to find. The National Physical Laboratory in UK is performing the study, and the result is expected in mid-2003. The next study is called the WHOIS Registrant Identification Study. The purpose of the study is to classify entities that register GTLD domains and compare the data with internet content for the registered domain names. So the underlying difference here is today you can register a domain name as a legal person or as a natural person. And depending whether you're a legal person or natural person, you know, you have the privacy and the access rights might be different. So the goal is to find out how many of those. This study is conducted by the National Opinion Research Council at the University of Chicago. They have released a report. So according to a report, the key finding is 39% appear to be registered by legal persons, 33% appear to be registered by natural persons, 20% were registered using a privacy or proxy service. So those are the rough breakdowns, 39, 33, and 20%. There are 8% unable to classify. The other finding is roughly 45 to 57%, you know, within the confidence interval of all those sample domains were perceived to have potential commercial activity. You know, that also depends on, you know, whether pay-per-click sites were included, because a lot of the sites some of those sites are also serving pay-per-click advertisement. And finally, the NORC study shows that knowing the domain has potential commercial activity does not provide additional insight as to the registrant type or the WHOIS address of the registrant. So it's not a very useful predictor, you know, that variable. So those are the findings. We encourage you to view the report online on that. With that, I'll pass this to my colleague Brian to talk about Red Cross, IOC, and IGO names. Brian?
Thank you very much, Steve. Hello, everyone. My name is Brian Peck, and I'm a policy director with the ICANN policy staff. I'm going to briefly give an update on with regard to the work being done on considering the special protections for the names of Red Cross, International Olympic Committee, and other international government organization names that is taking place within the GNSO. The GNSO Council initiated a PDP last November to determine whether special protection should be provided to prevent the registration of domain names using either the Red Cross, Red Crescent, IOC, or IOGO names in all GTLDs at both the top and or second level. And that PTP is still ongoing, and indeed there will be a session in Beijing. In the interim, the ICANN board has adopted certain measures to protect these organization names. Specifically with regard to the Red Cross, Red Crescent, and IOC names, those organization names are now on a reserved names list in the new GTLD registry agreements, which basically prohibits the registration of such names at the second level of the first round of the new GTLDs. With regards to IGO names, the Government Advisory Committee, or GAC, and the IGOs are currently collaborating to determine a list of organizations that would qualify to be placed on that same reserved names list in the new GTLD agreements, and thus also be protected at the second round of the new GTLDs. As I mentioned, the Geonosal Council has launched a PDP that is currently ongoing. It is looking at determining whether indeed special protection should be provided for the names of these particular organizations at both the top and or second level, not only in the new GTLDs, but in all GTLDs for, as I say, IGO and international non-government organization identifiers, as well as the Red Cross, Red Crescent, and IOC names. The PDP working group meets on a regular basis and is currently considering permanent protections for the identifiers of these organization names, specifically looking at some of the issues that are listed here on the slide. For example, defining or quantifying the scope of the number of organizations that indeed would qualify or be considered for special protection. They're also evaluating the scope of existing protections for certain international treaties that have been signed by several countries in terms of protecting both the Red Cross, Red Crescent, IOC names, and names of certain international government organizations. The PDP working group is currently working on establishing criteria for determining which, if any, organizations could qualify for special protections, as well as what type of special protections could be provided at either the top and or second level of all GTLDs. And there is also, in doing so, looking at whether there are any substantive differences between the Red Cross and IOC and other international organizations, particularly non-government organizations. In terms of next steps, the working group's current goal is to publish an initial report of their work for public comment in early April. As I mentioned, the working group is planning a session, a face-to-face meeting in Beijing on Monday, the 8th of April, local time 1400 to 1730. Further information can be provided by going to the ICANN website, looking at the schedule that is published on the website there for the Beijing meeting. Once the initial public, initial report is published and public comment is received, the working group will review that input and publish a final report providing any recommendations that it has determined. For further information, the final issue report and additional information is provided on the links to this website. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to my colleagues in the GNSO department, Marika, Barry, Julie, Steve, and Lars. Thank you.
I apologize. This is Julie Hedlund. I was on mute and I didn't realize it. Thank you very much. Just very briefly on translation and transliteration of contact information. And this is an issue report, a final issue report, that the GNSO will be considering at its meeting in Beijing. It was a result of a motion that the Council passed in October. The status is that there was a public comment on the preliminary issue report, and now the final issue report is being sent to the Council for consideration. The next step is that the Council will consider initiating the PDP at its meeting in Beijing, and it's important to know that staff does recommend initiating the PDP, but is suggesting that the Council may consider deferring the start of the work, forming the PDP working group after the expert working group on GTLD directory services has completed its work, and that is due to be complete in May, at which point the Council will consider moving ahead. There is a link here for your information, and I'll be happy to answer any questions when we move to the question part of this section. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you, Julie. This is Barry Cobb, and I'll be covering the next two topics, the first of which is uniformity of reporting. This is the initial report that was asked of the GNSO Council that's founded from a recommendation of the Registration Abuse Policies Working Group in 2009, and as a result of identifying the need for access to data and reporting of common complaints related to domain registrations and various forms of registration abuse to better inform certain policy development. Since then, staff has created the initial report, and it basically outlines the latest efforts within ICANN, predominantly focused around the contractual compliance activity accomplishments for improving the contractual compliance function. I won't go into details of the issue report, but in short, the compliance team is completing its last year of a three-year transformation plan, much of which we believe satisfies the original recommendation created by the RAPWG. In the coming months, ICANN will deploy certain types of dashboards based on some of this transformation activity, at which the community will have access to this information, which is something we're very excited about. The public comment period for this issue report closes tomorrow, with the reply period closing 3 weeks later. If no comments are received, staff will prepare the final issue report for the council to deliberate at the meeting in Beijing. We also encourage community members to attend a contractual compliance session that's scheduled for Wednesday, April 10th at 11 a.m. local time, Beijing, for the latest updates on that group's activities and the status of their three-year plan. Next, I'll move along to WHOIS service requirements. This working group was formed to measure community input on various possible technical requirements of an improved WHOIS system based on a prior ICANN staff report. Such technical attributes that were reviewed were things as like definition of standard query structures, standard error messages for a WHOIS system, querying of WHOIS, internationalized registration data, authentication framework, who was, and conversion to thick WHOIS, among some other various topics. The working group deliberated throughout all of 2012 to develop a draft survey, solicit community input to that survey, and then we deployed the final version of the survey that was approximately 80 questions, all technical related to WHOIS, that concluded at the end of 2012. Currently, ICANN staff is analyzing the results of this survey, and we intend to return an initial report to the working group for review after Beijing with the eventual delivery for the GNSO Council. And so with that, I'll turn it over to my colleague, Lars, to give you an update on IRQ.
Hi there. My name is Lars Hoffman. I'm a policy analyst in the ICANN Brussels office, and I'm currently helping out with the overseeing from the staff side the PDP, the policy development process for the IRTP Part D, the intra-registrar transfer policy. It's a existing consensus policy that is currently under review, and as you can tell from the title, it's currently in its Part D. The preceding parts A to C underwent PDPs already that concluded subsequently in the years 2009 to 2012. This current Part D deals with the six particular issues that are listed in the charter of the working group. Four of these issues relate to transfer disputes to the Transfer Dispute Resolution Policy, TDRP. One of the issues that the working group is dealing with concerns the assessment of IRTP-related penalties. And one issue concerns the usefulness or the continued usefulness of using forms of authorization when it comes to transfers of of inter-transfer, I'm sorry, inter-registrar transfers. The policy has started, the working group has started its work a few weeks back on the 25th of February. Since then, it has adopted a work plan and sent out input requests to the GNSO's stakeholder groups and communities, as well as to the other supporting organizations and advisory committees. So it's still at the very beginning of its work, and the next step will then be to review the input that is received to those letters and requests that have been sent out. The group is planning to publish its initial report for public comment by the ICANN meeting in Durban. The group is also holding a face-to-face breakfast meeting, as it looks now, on Wednesday, the 10th of April, very early in the morning, 7:30 to 9 a.m. And if you need any more information, it's on the wiki, and there's also a hyperlink on the slide. Thank you very much.
So this is Marika again. So the last topic we're covering in this series is another policy development process that deals with SIG WHOIS. So this working group has been tasked to look at the question of whether there should be a requirement for the use of SIG WHOIS for all GTLD registries, both existing and future. They've been asked to look at a specific list of issues in this regard, issues such as privacy and data protection, accessibility, stability, etc. So this working group started a little while back and is currently reviewing the input that it has received from GNSO stakeholder groups, constituencies, as well as other ICANN supporting organizations and advisory committees. So this working group is also planning to publish its initial report by the ICANN meeting in Durban, and they're also having a face-to-face meeting in Beijing, which is scheduled for Monday, the 8th of April, from 7:30 to 9. So if you're interested in this topic, please feel free to come along. All the GNSO meetings are typically open and would welcome additional participants and input. So with that, I think it wraps up the topics for the GNSO, and we'll now have a couple of minutes for questions. So I'll hand it over to David.
Thank you very much, Marika. At this stage, after the presentation of matters before the GNSO, I'd like to open it up for questions. We'll be unmuting the telephone line so that you can ask some questions. Again, there'll be an opportunity to put questions in the chat as we go along. And also at the end of the presentations, we will have another question and answer period. At this stage, though, I'd like to open it up to any questions on the materials presented before the GNSO by our experts. If there are no questions here, again, please, in the chat or at the end, you're more than welcome to answer that. We will be moving on to the next session. And that will be looking at CCNSO policy issues. I now turn it over to Bart Boxwinkle.
Thank you, David. Good day, everybody. I'll go into a few topics in the CCNSO very briefly. Just for everybody, the CCNSO is the SO for the CCTLDs and is a membership part of ICANN. To date, we have 136 members, so there is the CCNSO still attracts CCTLD managers. The latest one is Marinette from .mk, and they have joined in February of this year. On the policy side and policy-related activities, I want to touch upon three topics. It's the IDM PDP, study group on the use of country names, and the framework of interpretation. The first one is really a policy run through a policy development process. The other two are more policy-related activities. In that sense, the CCNSO is a little bit different than the GNSO. On the IDM PDP, this is a very long ongoing process. It was launched in April 2007, and hopefully it will end by the Durban meeting. To date, the interim report on the IDM-PDP has been posted, and public comments, so in the reply period, closes today, and based on the input, the interim report will be updated, and then a final report will be submitted to the Council for its deliberations and voting at the Beijing meeting. Following that, there will be a members' vote, so from the CCNSO membership. The interim report combines, in fact, the two aspects of the IDM-PDP. One is the overall policy for the selection of IDN-CCTLD strings, and the second part, which I will be touched upon later in this presentation, is on the inclusion of IDN-CCTLDs in the CCNSO. The major points of the overall policy is that it builds on the fast-track methodology that has been developed in the meantime, knowing that the policy development process itself would take some time. The main characteristics is it's an IDN-CCTLD string needs to contain at least one non-ASCII character, and this requested string needs to be a meaningful representation in a designated official language of the name of the country territory. If you would compare the overall policy with the fast-track process, the major changes are the resolution, we hope, of the confusingly similarity issues. There will, in the overall policy, a two-panel review process will be introduced. There is a placeholder at this stage for the IDN variant management policy issues, as in the ICANN community, the IDN variant discussion is ongoing, and there is an update and clarification of the processes involved in order to request an IDN CCTLD string. One of the major underlying policy principles is that the current policy of delegation and redelegation applies to the overall selection of IDN or to the selection of IDN CCTLD strings as well. This means that IDN CCTLDs will be delegated and redelegated in accordance with the current policies for CCTLDs. Looking at the second part, the inclusion of IDN-CCTLDs in the CCNSO, again, one of the underlying overarching principles is that IDN-CCTLDs and ASCII-CCTLDs, so the current CCTLDs, should be treated similar. Again, this is one of the results, not the results. This is how current IDN-CCTLDs delegated through the through the fast track process and CCTLDs are treated. And in order to accomplish this, the ICANN bylaws to the CCNSO need to be adjusted. So that means an adjustment of the membership definition in order to maintain the balance within the CCNSO. The proposal is one vote per territory, and a very minor edit in with regard to the IDM-PDP. Now I want to turn to the second topic. Again, this is ongoing and is a spin-off of the IDM-PDP. That is a study in CCNSO study group into the use of country names and territory names as TLDs. Again, this has been long on the agenda. I just want to go into the current status of it. In April last year, the UNESCO initiated a survey under the umbrella of the MOU between UNESCO and ICANN, and this survey went to 39 countries selected by UNESCO, and to date 15 countries have responded. The results affirm the typology that was developed by the study group, so it means that, say, for the respondents, and that is member states of UNESCO, the typology is a meaningful set of categories of country names, country and territory names. And a second conclusion that can be drawn, it is very difficult to get to the relevant authorities, even for UNESCO, to seek a response. And this is this will be noted in the draft final report as well. The study group is preparing a draft final report, and which it hopes to publish before the Beijing meeting to inform the community and the CCNSO in particular. Finally, the framework of interpretation. Again, this is a very long, ongoing work. It is not a policy development process in the strict sense. This is, and that's why I've included it again, this is one of the activities of the CCNSO where it starts to interpret existing policy and hopes to come up with recommendations to the ICANN board on delegation and redelegation issues that have been identified by a previous working group. Current status is that the progress of the FOI since the Toronto meeting, the FOI is awaiting a response from the GAC on its on the significant interested party draft recommendations, and the working group is finalizing its discussions on issues around the revocation and unconsented redelegation of CCTLDs, and this is one of the very contentious issues within the CC community as well on how to deal with it and how to interpret the current existing policy as documented in RFC 1591. Some other projects in the CCNSO. The Finance Working Group. The Finance Working Group is reviewing the financial contributions to the from the CCTLD community to ICANN. It is exploring currently a more of a value-based approach for financial contributions, which will be discussed at the Beijing meeting with the broader community. And it is developing a fair and hopefully a fair and equitable distribution model. So how the total sum of expected from the CCTLD community will be divided across the CCTLD community. A second ongoing and standing working group is the Strategic and Operational Planning Working Group. It will be meeting at the Beijing meeting. Since the Toronto meeting, it has been not very active in its awaiting ICANN's operational plan and budget and the new developments around the strategic planning process, ICANN strategic planning process. Some CCNSO council committees, currently there are three council committees. The final one on the sheet, the committee to advise the council to balance the workload and volunteer capacity, has just finished its final report, which has been sent to the council and will be discussed at the Beijing meeting with both by the council and presented to the CCNSO community as well. One of the interesting recommendations in that final report is on the prioritization of the workload for the CCNSO in order to balance the volunteer capacity. The second one is a council committee is the CCNSO 10th Anniversary Celebration Committee. This will prepare some events at the Durban meeting, but so you will hear more about it between the Beijing and Durban meeting. And finally, there is the committee on the review of the election guidelines. The CCNSO has developed a set of guidelines on the election of its councillors and on the election of its board members. During the last council election, some issues surfaced, and as a result, the guidelines need to be reviewed for a short-term solution. As a result, there is a discussion on some of the underlying principles on representation on the council and the role of council and the role of membership. To conclude my presentation, just a few remarks on some of the joint working groups in which the CCNSO is involved. One is the joint CCNSO-GNSO-IDN working group. This working group is preparing its draft final report on the universal acceptance of IDN TLDs, which it hopes to publish prior to the Beijing meeting. It is one of the three topics in which the joint CCNSO or the JIG has been working on. The first one on the single character IDNs has been concluded, and it's following the and the third one is following the discussions and understand potential policy implications on IDN variant management. Finally, the second major joint working group is the DNS Security and Stability Analysis Working Group, the DSSA. This working group has been dormant since the Toronto meeting, and it will revisit its status at the Beijing meeting and try to understand whether it needs to continue its work or that it has completed its work with the publication of its Phase 1 report prior to the Toronto meeting. Thank you, and I now hand it over again to David for questions.
Thank you very much, Bart. Again, if there are any questions, we will unmute the lines and have people ask some questions of Bart and the presentation on the CCNSO, the Country Code Operators and Organizations activities. Of course, again, you may ask chat questions at any time, and of course, at the end, we'll allow questions for you. Any questions for our CCNSO presentation and Bart's comments? Okay, we thank you for your attention, and I thank Bart for his presentation. We now move to our next session with Barb Roseman, talking about the ASO and RSAC policy issues. Barb, the floor is yours.
Thank you. The ASO is the Address Supporting Organization, and they're going to be holding their annual face-to-face meeting at the ICANN Beijing meeting. They will be holding an open meeting, though there is no opportunity in their meetings for participation from outside viewers. However, it's a good insight into how they do their work. They're also hosting a workshop on Wednesday. They're going to be posting the agenda shortly, and that is going to be back-to-back with the IPv6 workshop that's taking place on Wednesday. So both will be held in the same venue, same room, and I believe will cover similar areas but different material. There are no global number resource policies under consideration at this time, and the ASO is finalizing their choice for board member for the upcoming three-year term. And they're in the process of that now, so I believe the announcement will be available in Beijing. The RSAC is the Root Server System Advisory Committee, and they mostly deal with questions related to how the Root Server System operates. They advise the board on issues related to the Root Server System, and they're comprised primarily of the Root Server operators, with some additional participation by other groups that work with updating the root zone. So they're proceeding with their reorganization, and they're adopting a new structure that's currently being approved by the current members. the bylaws amendment that addresses this will have that structure in place by July 1st of 2013. And the reorganization is based on the review that was done of the RSAC. It's, this group is also moving forward with documenting a measurement and metrics plan for assessing the health of the root server system. The document is in last call currently in the group, and that means that they're accepting any final changes to it, and includes agreements on which measurements to collect and a common repository for the data. So they'll all be doing the same measurements and storing the data collectively so that analysis can be done on all the data collectively. Another document that they have under review establishes basic performance standards for root server operators. There is a current IETF document, but it's a bit outdated. It doesn't address any casting or IPv6 utilization, and all of the root server operators currently include that in their services. So this would be an update to that document, and they're really looking forward to having some agreed basic performance standards. And with that, I will turn it over to Julie Hedlund and Steve Shang for an update on the SX.
Thank you very much, Barbara. This is Julie Hedlund. I'll start off this brief presentation on the Security and Stability Advisory Committee and then turn it over to my colleague, Dr. Shang. The Security and Stability Advisory Committee is an advisory committee to the ICANN board, the supporting organizations, advisory committees to staff and the general community. It was formed in 2001 and began operations in 2002. The charter states that the SAC will advise the ICANN community and board on matters related to the security and integrity of the Internet's naming and address allocation systems. There are 38 members in the SAC at this point. They are appointed by the ICANN board for three-year terms, and a third of the members are reviewed on an annual basis. And provided on this slide is the website where you can get more information on the SAC. But very briefly, there is a great deal of work going on in the SAC right now. In 2013, there are several committees and work parties. There is the membership committee that considers requests for membership. There are work parties on identifier abuse metrics, root key rollover, and the SAC participates in the development of the DNSSEC workshop program committee. These are the DNSSEC workshops held at each ICANN meeting on the Wednesdays of the meeting, and there will be one in Beijing on the 10th of April. There are also work parties who are working on SAC meetings with law enforcement representatives at ICANN meetings, developing a workshop for the Internet Governance Forum, considering a new GTLD success metrics, abuse of the DNS for DDoS attacks, MDNS complexity challenges in the DNS, and the SAC also participates in the DSSA working group that my colleague Bart Boswinkel mentioned in his previous presentation. I'd now like to turn over the presentation to my colleague, Dr. Shang. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. I'll briefly talk about two advisories that SAC produced. One is already published on internal name certificates. In the SAC report, it talks about, it defines what are the internal name certificates and the security and stability issues it causes. The SAC did both a empirical research as well as case studies looking into these security implications for these certificates and recommend ICANN to take immediate mitigation steps. I also want to highlight in Appendix A of the report, it highlights a chronology of mitigating this security risk. So as a result of the SAC report and ICANN action, part of the risk has already been mitigated and current mitigation effort ongoing. All of these are in the document that in the URL below. I invite you to read that document. The other report ESSEC is working on is on domain name registration data validation. As we know, the accuracy of registration data has been a hot topic in the ICANN development. And one of the ways to improve accuracy is through validating the registration data. So this ESSEC report talks about why is accurate registration data important. It surveys from past ESSEC advisories as well as current literature on this topic. It also lists various reasons why today the registration data is inaccurate and really calls out that as the ICANN community debate various proposals, it needs to look deep into the underlying cause to make sure these underlying cause of inaccuracies are addressed. It also proposed a taxonomy of validation, separating it into three types of validation, and have a lengthy section talks about for each of the data elements how to implement validation. And it concludes with a series of findings and recommendations. This report is currently in ESSEC review and will be published shortly before the ICANN Beijing meeting. So I invite you to check in then to view this report. Next, I'm going to pass over to my colleague Heidi to talk about ALAC policy issues. Heidi?
Thank you. Thank you, Steve. Hi. Hello, everyone. My name is Heidi Ulrich. I'm the Director for At Large, and I'm delighted to give you a brief update on the ALAC's policy and process activities, as well as outreach and capacity building sessions taking place in Beijing. First, the highlights of the policy issues being discussed within ALAC. The ALAC produced 19 policy advice statements in response to open public comments between mid-September 2012 and mid-March 2013. This follows a record-breaking 2012 with an all-time high of 51 statements submitted. These policy advice statements included 4 related to IDNs, 3 related to WHOIS, and 2 related to trademark clearinghouse issues. The policy advice development process that the ALAC uses, including close collaboration with the 5 regional at-large organizations and over 16 active working groups, ensures that the ALAC statements reflect the views from the edges of the at-large community. At-large also periodically holds briefing sessions on topics of interest to the at-large community as part of both ongoing capacity building activities as well as their policy advice development process. And since the Toronto meeting, there have been 4 at-large briefing sessions, all of which have been extremely well attended. The first one was on the R3 white paper, making ICANN relevant, responsive, and respected. The At-Large Future Challenges Working Group has been working on a white paper since late 2011 that identifies 4 challenges ICANN is facing and makes recommendations for how to overcome those challenges. In Beijing, this group will be holding a roundtable on the ALAC R3 white paper on Monday, the 8th of April, focusing on the next steps to take with its recommendations. The second was the post-WICKET webinar following the World Conference on International Communications, in which several members of the at-large community participated. The ALAC held a webinar that offered an exchange of perspectives on the outcome and the implications of the meeting for both at ICANN and at large. And the third was a WHOIS briefing session in the ALAC, in collaboration with the members of the at-large WHOIS working group, held a briefing session on WHOIS issues that highlighted the diversity of perspectives on WHOIS. There were only over 30 participants who attended this webinar. In Beijing, the at-large WHOIS working group will be holding a meeting on Wednesday, the 10th of April. And finally, the ALAC recently held a briefing session on the proposed 2013 RAA, and this was part of a not only for capacity building, but also a way for the community to help to develop its statement in response to this current public comment. more information on all of the statements that the ALEC has submitted are available at the at-large correspondence page, which is listed on the slide. So turning next to the ALEC process activities, I'd like to highlight three activities from between Toronto and Beijing. The first is the current efforts to revise the ALEC rules of procedure. Revisions of the ALEC rules of procedure were mandated by the ALEC at-large improvements project, and the revised ALEC rules of procedure are the product of an extensive process carried out by some 33 members of the at-large community in both face-to-face and teleconferences over the last half year to review the ALEC rules on participation and accreditation, organization of the ALEC, conduct of business and adoption, and amendment of the rules of procedure. And the ALEC will begin their vote on these revised ROPs this next week. The second process activity is that related to objections for the new GTLDs. In ICANN's new GTLD program, the ALEC was given the responsibility, its first operational responsibility, to consider and possibly file objections to new GTLD applications. And these were limited to both limited public interest and to community grounds objections. And following a review of objections in, received by all levels of the at-large community in a process that was fully designed by the at-large community and a full analysis of the at-large review, new GTLD review group, the ALEC voted to file three objections based on community grounds for three separate .health applications. And the third process activity is the current one of transitioning from ALEC 3.0 to that of version 4. And the ALEC has identified a need for at-large to move from its current this current version to the next version 4, in light of the challenges to the multi-stakeholder internet governance model in the post-WCAG environment. And key elements of version 4, moving to version 4, will include increasing the effective input from the at-large working groups and the RALOs into the ALEC policy development process, increase outreach to new members, including within universities, and increasing capacity building and leadership training orientation activities. And the members of the at-large community will be discussing all of these issues in Beijing. I'd like to talk about a little bit about the capacity building events going on in Beijing. During the Beijing meeting, the Asian, Australasian, and Pacific Islands Regional At-Large Organization, or AP RALO, will be holding a series of meetings for over 25 of their at-large structures. And these meetings, planned entirely by members of AP RALO, are intended to strengthen the ability of the AP RALO ALS to participate effectively in the at-large community. And these meetings include an AP RALO multi-stakeholder roundtable that will be held on Monday, the 8th of April, on 17th to 1900, on two themes. There will be a panel, one theme on new GTLDs and the implications for the AP RALO region, and theme two, IDNs and implications for the AP RALO region. There will also be an AP General Assembly and an AP monthly meeting, as well as four joint capacity building sessions for the AP RALO ALSs and fellows. And finally, there'll also be a Chinese ALS meeting for Chinese speaking ALSs and AP RALO outreach activities. Another highlight of the AP RALO Beijing event is a showcase that is going to be on the theme of celebrating AP RALO's regional diversity. This will be held on Monday, 8th of April, between 19 and 2100. Speakers include Fadi Shahadi, ICANN President and CEO, and it will also feature over 25 AP RALO structures who will be displaying their activities for the end users as well as their cultural diversity. So you're all very warmly welcome to this event on Monday, and this concludes the ALEC update. And I hand this back to my colleague David Olive for questions.
Thank you very much, Heidi. We're going to unmute the lines for people caring to raise a question about the recent presentations on the activities of the advisory committees as presented by our policy team members. I noticed there was an active question and answer period in the chat about some of the presentations, and I appreciate that. That's another way we can answer your questions. Yes, please. Please go ahead. If you have a question. Someone was trying to ask one, but if not, please put it into the chat and we'll be happy to provide an answer. At this stage, I would like to also mention that the slides and the recording will be made available to all, and we'll provide the link again. It was provided at the beginning of the session, so that you can refer to it at your leisure. And we will also be translating the remarks into Chinese for our Chinese language colleagues as we approach our Beijing meeting in a few weeks. With that, I would also like to say you can keep informed about policy development activities, including many issues that are open for public comment and for your input and commentary. In particular, the monthly policy update we present each month as a reminder and reporting on various activities of the supporting organizations and advisory committees in their policy activities. You can read it online, and it is also in the six languages, UN languages, for your review. By clicking that link on subscribe, you can get it automatically each month as soon as it is published, and it is available in the languages that you you see here. Again, before going back to any final questions, I wanted to let you know about the wonderful team that is supporting the various SOs and ACs, as we call them, the supporting organizations and advisory committees of the policy staff of ICANN. They are listed here, and we're always ready for any questions, or please contact us if you see us in Beijing, if you're going to be there, or through remote participation. We appreciate your interest and involvement here. Again, to subscribe to the Policy Monthly, that is another fine way to keep informed about what's going on at ICANN. Again, I will allow at this stage to turn it over to unmuting the lines, and if there are any questions, we were happy to take them here online. Of course, you can always contact us at policy-staff@icann.org. for questions that may come up after you review the slides or review the transcripts for your information. If you are pleased, obviously, with the presentation, I'm glad to hear that. Again, we will have the transcript and the slides available to you, and you're more than welcome to review that. With this, I will get one last call for any questions or comments you may have. I see someone is typing in the chat, so we might want to wait a bit. So on behalf of the ICANN Policy Development Support Team, I would like to thank you for your participation in our webinar as we prepare for the important work in Beijing. And I wish everyone a good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you may be. Thank you very much for joining us.